the celebration that we can have around the birth of our Savior. We are doing the Advent candle, and the word Advent means the coming, the coming. There are five candles in the Advent wreath. Each one has a message. The first week, we lit what is called the hope candle. And Israel had a hope that one day a Messiah would come. We believe that Messiah has come. And we believe that's what happened on Christmas, what we call Christmas Day, the coming of the baby Jesus. He was the hope. But we as Christians, we have another hope. And that hope is that we are looking for the second coming of our Messiah. That is our hope. The second week was the candle of love. Jesus came because of the love of His Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the love of God, God gave us His Son, and Jesus came to show us what? Love. He's all about love. His kingdom is about love. The third week was the pink candle is joy. Joy. You know, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That we are to be not just a glum people, we are to be a joyous people. We've got a reason to rejoice. You know, we kind of live I don't want to say this tonight, but we live in kind of a fallen world where lots of bad things happen. But you know, even in the midst of that, because of the hope we have that someday all of that's going to be gone. And there's not going to be any more calamity. There's not going to be any more cancer. There's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be anything that hurts. And the Bible says that God is going to wipe away every tear. And even with that hope that we have, even though sometimes we go through difficult situations, we can still have the joy of the Lord. Isn't that true? Tonight's candle is the peace candle. The message that the angel came proclaiming to the shepherds on that night was peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Two kinds of peace. We can have the peace of God because we have peace with God. Amen. Sunday we will light the Christ candle and we'll celebrate that candle. Tonight we're going to just talk for a few minutes as we continue this series. We have looked at Christmas through the eyes of different groups of people or different people. The first group that we looked at was the shepherds. And we found out that when God chose who He was going to come to and announce the coming of His Son, He didn't choose royalty. He didn't choose the government. He didn't even choose the religious system. He chose a group of people at that time were despised. They were the lowly shepherds. And He came to the shepherds, and the shepherds got the announcement of the angels, how that peace on earth was coming and goodwill towards men were coming. And they were one of the first to see the Christ child. The second week, we talked about the wise men. An amazing thing happened in the heavens about the time of the birth of Christ. There was just like a starry dance that began to take place in the heavens. The alignment of planets and stars and constellations and the moon and the sun and the sky. And we see the two planets coming together along with Regulus, the star, and making what we know as the Star of Bethlehem. And it was these ancient wise men or magi that were studiers of the stars. And when they saw the stars beginning to align, they began to follow that star until it led them to a place that they could come to and worship Jesus at His home. Last week we talked about Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we talked about Mary's faith. How that she contrasted Zechariah, who, when the angel visited him and announced the birth of his son John the Baptist, that he didn't believe. But how that Mary, when she heard an even far-fetched story, how that a virgin would conceive and bring forth the Son of God. She said to the angel, "Be it unto me even as you've spoken." And we see that Mary was the one who got to bring the Christ child into the world. And she's not only that, she was a great influencer in his life. And we've seen Mary through different eyes. Tonight we're going to talk about Joseph. It's interesting, the hymn or the carol that we sing, "What Child Is This?" was written in 1865 by William Dix. And it's interesting in this carol, if you'll read it, it talks about the Christ child, it talks about Mary, it talks about the angels, it even talks about the wise men. It even talks about the animals that were there that night. But you know who it never mentions? It never mentions Joseph. Never mentions Joseph at all. In fact, if you go to the Gospel of Mark and you read the story of the coming of the baby Jesus, Joseph is not mentioned there. He is mentioned in the other Gospels, but it's interesting, even though he's mentioned, it's not recorded anything that he ever said. Now, we hear in the Gospels what the angels said, what the wise men said, what King Herod said, what Mary said, what the angels said. But nowhere in Scripture is Joseph ever quoted. Nothing that he ever said. It's almost like he wasn't even needed. But there is something that we do see about Joseph. In fact, we know very little about Joseph. We know about his lineage. We know that he was of the house of David, as was Mary. One through Solomon, the other one through Nathan, the sons of David. But they were both of the royal lineage. We know many things about Joseph. And after Jesus in the temple at 12 years of age, you never see Joseph again. During the crucifixion, Joseph was not present. Just Mary. You remember Jesus hanging on the cross and looking at his John, and he says, said, Behold your mother. And it says from that time forward that John took Mary into his home, and she stayed with him the rest of her life. Joseph was not there. Many theologians think that he died. We don't know for sure. But here's the question. Was he significant? Was he significant? Jesus didn't come from his loins. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, by the Virgin Mary. I want to read in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Really, she could have been stoned. Somebody who committed adultery, even though they were married by the law of Israel, even though they didn't live together. Once they signed what is called the ketubah, they were considered to be legally married. They had not consummated their marriage. They had not lived together. But yet they were considered to be married. And they could not break these vows that they had to each other. So he could have had her stoned, but rather he chose to put her away privately so that she would not be disgraced. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give, look at this, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So what did he do? He accepted Jesus as his son. He accepted Jesus as his son. In fact, by the community, he was considered to be the son of Joseph. It says in John 6, 41 and 2, at this the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? So the community recognized that he belonged to Joseph. Joseph decided that he belonged to him. We're going to look at this video, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, I reckon I've called at least a dozen of these. Made my first one for my baby boy. Boy, it's going to be an angel. At least the way I remember it. That was a long time ago. See, my boy, well, before he got born, I really didn't know who he was going to look like. That worried me. Well, see, his mama, she found out she was pregnant, and I didn't want to embarrass her. Baby wasn't mine. I just thought I was going to let her go without making a fuss, you know. But then one night I had this dream, and there was an angel in it. And that angel, he told me I shouldn't be scared to marry that woman because it was God's baby that Mary was having. You know, around here we got a custom. When a baby gets born, the daddy, he puts that baby across his knees. And that's his way of telling everybody that that baby is his. Well, it took a while for my heart to kind of get used to the idea that that baby is just on loan to me. That he was special. But I made room for him. And when he got born, I did what any daddy would do. I put that boy on my knee. I gave him a name, I called him mine. He grew up to a fine boy. Now all these years later, well, you probably heard about him. He's grown into a fine man. You know, every time I called one of these, I remember what that angel told me. That Mary's boy, my boy, we're supposed to call him God with us. God with us. Yeah. I reckon that's all I've ever really needed to know. So you ask me who my boy looks like, I'll tell you. He looks like God.
Joseph had a big decision to make. You can imagine the story, how unbelievable it was. And if it hadn't been for the intervention of the angel, he probably would have put her away. So his role was really, really important. And I like what they said, because in Israel they had a custom that when a baby was born, that the daddy would take that child and lay it across his lap. And that was a signal that he was accepting that child. He was acknowledging that child as his. And there's evidence, the Bible doesn't say that Joseph did that, but there's evidence there that he did, because he was known as the son of Joseph. He was known in the community as the son of Joseph. So what Joseph did is, when he took that child and laid him across his lap, he adopted him as his own. And the fact, too, the other thing that the father's responsibility was to name the child. It wasn't the mother's responsibility. Even though the angel told the mama the name, he also said, you will name, to Joseph, you will name him Jesus. See, John, or Zacharias named John. Joseph named Jesus. And that was a sign, that was a sign that he was accepting him as his own. In many ways, Joseph is like God. As Joseph adopted Jesus and named him, can I tell you something? God also adopts us and names us. Isn't that good? God adopts us. Going to read some verses real quick. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the set time had fully come, now listen to this, this is so good. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. It's as if God takes us and puts us across His lap and says, He's mine, she's mine. It's adoption. It's adoption. We, through sin, lost our relationship with God, but through Jesus, guess what? We receive the adoption of sonship. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer just servants. We're sons and daughters of God. No, we make ourselves servants of God. God does not make us servants. He makes us sons. And we choose to become servants of God, as sons of God, because we love God. Amen? Ephesians 1:5 says this, He predestined, say that with me, predestined. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Why did God love us? Why did God choose us? Why did God adopt us? Can I just tell you? He wanted to. He wanted to. You didn't deserve to be adopted. You don't deserve to be sons of God. But He loved you anyway. He loved you just like you are. In all of your ugliness. In all of your rebellion. And all of the things that you may have done in your life. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But He looked at us and He loved us and He chose us to the adoption as sons and daughters of God. I like that. Romans 8:14 says, For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, last verse. Not only does He adopt us, He names us. He names us. Revelation. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives us. Not only does He adopt us, He will name us. And I'm just glad that He calls us His. Amen. You know, you're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a Christian because you believe in Jesus. Devil believes in Jesus. Do you know that? You're not a Christian for any of those reasons. You become a Christian, first of all, because He chooses you. And when He chooses you, He gives you opportunity to choose Him back. He doesn't make you become His, but He reveals Himself to you. He speaks to your heart and He draws you to Himself. But it's up to you to receive that adoption that He makes available to us. You can be around church all your life and not know Christ. I'm sad to say, I got to tell you how ignorant I've been. I have been in church my whole life. I know a lot of you, some of you, have not been in church your whole life. I cannot remember a time that I have not been in church. The first 19 years of my life, I was in church and did not know God. I did not know Jesus Christ. You know, we make a big deal out of people who go way out into sin like the prodigal son and then comes home. But I'll tell you, they find God. But there's people in church that have been in church all their life that needs to find God. Now, I don't know where you are with God, but I just want to let you know tonight that you can receive the adoption that He has for you as a son and a daughter of God. He wants to take you and place you across His knee and call you His. And He wants to give you a new name. You can do that tonight. You can pray a prayer, just a simple prayer. And you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and take control of your life and turn your will and your life over to Him. And you know what? He will accept you just as you are. You can do that tonight. We're not going to ask you to come forward, but you just pray that simple prayer right where you're at. If you've never done that, I challenge you to do that, especially if you sense a tug at your heart. I'm not tugging at your heart. I don't know how to do that. But He does. And if He's tugging at your heart tonight, then you need to take a step toward Him and invite Him to take control of your life. You can do that. Joe is going to come and we're fixing to light candles. Who we're celebrating is the one who came into this world to give us light. His life became the light of mankind. He is called the light of the world. And listen, if you know Him tonight, Joel will tell you how in just a minute. You'll be able to light your candle. And we're going to lift our candles to the Lord and we're going to celebrate the light of the world that has come, who has redeemed us, who has adopted us and called us His Son. Amen.